From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, September 24th, 2013. This weekly podcast brings you the latest information on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Why in the world would you want to join a professional GIS organization? Do you know of any organizations that are serving its members well, and what would it have to provide you to make you want to fork over the fee to join? We'll tackle those questions and more, but first a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Make ArcGIS Online the mapping platform for your organization. Sign up for a free 30-day trial today at esri.com/agoleval.
Adina, we've often discussed the current affairs of professional GIS organizations because a few, like the Geospatial Information and Technology Association, GITA, have moved to become an all-volunteer organization from one of the largest professional societies. There was a drop-off in members. The conference kind of imploded, etc. The Urban and Regional Information Systems Association, one which recently had their annual conference that you attended, it has rebranded itself the Association for GIS Professionals. It's kind of trying to expand its reach from being something that's more on urban planning to something that's more broad. The American Congress on Surveying and Mapping is now the National Society of Professional Surveyors, etc. There's many organizations that are either trying to rebrand or reestablish a new identity. But the real issue for me is, why would I join? Well, what benefits are useful to me as a GIS professional if I'm receiving many of the same benefits from social media? For example, networking. You know, this was once a staple of professional societies. Well, most of that can be accomplished in so many different ways by social media, just in keeping touch with other professionals of like interests. Workshop accreditation, for example. If you were going to get a professional certification, much of that can be found online, sometimes free, sometimes from universities, but certainly other sources and other organizations are providing that. Attending conferences. Well, unless you have a unique program that you can't find online, the content can be found elsewhere. And more than likely, as a forum for education, a user conference has probably got the training on a particular product that you would need rather than going to a more neutral venue. Plus, you can keep up with newsletters and white papers. I can find them in so many other different resources elsewhere. I don't need a professional society to provide that to me. Now, my comments are mainly geared for the individual. I also want to touch on those organizations, those professional GIS organizations that serve a B2B function. For example, the Management Association for Professional Photogrammetric Surveyors, MAPS. It's a 501c6 organization that is focused on serving its member companies, not necessarily the individuals. And they have activities that benefit business partnerships. It's one of the few organizations that can lobby Congress on legislation that impacts its members. Its members and member benefits are entirely different from those that serve the individual. So this is a very different type of professional organization whereby the benefits to the business must be bottom line oriented. And the member benefits, as I said, are certainly different in terms of the fees associated with membership. So let's start off with a simple question. We have organizations that are focused on the individual, some are focused on the business, but from your point of view, why would you join a professional GIS association today, and what benefits would it have to provide to you in order for you to spend the money for membership?
Okay, well, the key part of the question you just asked was the word today. Now, when I started out in this field 25 years ago, I felt that you had to join a professional organization because that is how you began your networking, because we weren't using social media, the web was young, and that was the way you moved through the field and you got ahead in your career. And I joined. In fact, I almost became the vice president of the New England chapter of the American Society for Photogrammetry and Remote Sensing, which is really interesting since I'm not involved in photogrammetry and remote sensing. But today, which was your question, why would you join one today? The answer is, I would not. And now you're going to ask me, well, why not?
Exactly.
And I have an answer for you.
Okay.
Okay. And the answer goes back to just the things that you were listing off, especially with regard to the individual. And all of those things you talked about, networking, training, publications, you really can get elsewhere. And I will go so far to suggest in many, many cases, you can get higher quality elsewhere.
Okay.
So if I want to do training, I want to go to the people who know about training. If I want education, I want to go to the people who know about education. If I want to make contacts to get jobs, I would argue there are other places besides those professional organizations where I can do that kind of work, and many of them are online, to be sure. So I guess what I would say is, while the individual is still interested in all of those things, there are other organizations, other platforms that do it better.
This is an interesting situation here, because some of these societies are trying to find new avenues to pursue and new benefits to provide their members. And one of my big questions is, how are they making the transition? And are they doing anything different today than they were doing before? And I looked at several organizations, some of the ones that I just mentioned, ERISA, GITA. What are they doing today that is different? I didn't see that GITA was doing much different than they used to, unfortunately. What I found in ERISA was they were doing a good job in providing the professional with jobs, job information, or what they call their certified workshops. And I know you just said that you could go to other resources. I looked at the list of some of their certified resources, and I was pleased to see that they were doing some very specific outreach in those areas.
Do you want to give some examples?
Yeah, the certified workshops, GIS return on investment. If you're a GIS analyst or project manager and you want to know what's the return going to be, I like that. They have some very current topics, 3D geospatial, business intelligence and data integration. I like that. So,
do you think, and I don't know much about these individual workshops or who wrote them or how they became certified ERISA workshops, do you think that's the best place to learn about those topics?
The short answer is, I'm not sure. And the reason I'm not sure is I don't know the qualifications of the instructors that are giving them. This, again, what ERISA is providing is a set of criteria for providing these workshops, generally on site at companies who want to provide training. Could you get this elsewhere? Yes, you probably could get this elsewhere. Are they doing a better job than what you can get elsewhere? I don't know the answer to that question. But I'm glad to see that they are offering this. Okay. And if you had to pick a place, I would want to know that ERISA is doing this as a service to me as a member, and I'm glad they're doing it. Now, if I go to another organization, for example, on the B2B side, it's an entirely different situation. I would want that business networking opportunity. So for MAPS, for example, they're providing forms for member companies, probably C-level executives, and they're giving them that contact for partnerships. And that's what I would want to see out of a B2B organization.
And that, I think, is a very different animal from the
ERISA, individual.
Where it's an individual membership for that individual who's looking to hit. I think people join ERISA because they want to get ahead in their career, that would be the general reason you would join. Now, I think we need to take a look at the definition of a professional association or professional body or professional organization, whatever you want to call it. When I went to look up the definition, and this is from Wikipedia, here's the definition. A professional organization is usually a nonprofit organization seeking to further a particular profession, the interest of individuals engaged in that profession, and the public interest. And those are three very different things. When you talk about the public interest, that's when you talk about things like licensure, like surveyors have,
right?
Because we need to protect the public. And we sort of kind of have that through ERISA, through the what's now the GISHI, the folks who give out the GISP. And that's somewhat serving the public interest. There are some issues about ethical behavior and so forth, and you can get your certification that says that GISHI says you've met its criteria of education and experience and so forth. The other part of this, though, is seeking to further a particular profession. That is, to make sure that the profession lives long and prospers. And I've talked to many people about Gishi and getting the certification, and they look at it as their investment in keeping this profession going and not getting sort of derailed or sucked into some other profession, maybe like surveying. There's so many things that a professional organization could include in its mission statement, some of which may be of interest to some people and others of which may not be of interest. Every time I bring up the issue of sort of advocacy, which I think MAPS does a lot of and the AAG is doing more of, and NISGIC certainly does a lot of, not everybody's really interested in that. They're interested, and I think this is sort of our traditional definition of professional organization, about me getting ahead as an individual who works in this field. And remember, back in the day, why would you join one of these organizations? Do you remember? I know exactly why I joined, because I could get GIS World for cheaper.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, that's an example of other sources being available from many of the things online these days.
Many of them are free.
Right. You don't have to join.
Back then, a subscription to GIS World cost $100 a year.
Right.
And when I joined whatever I joined, it came free with my membership, and the membership was only $50.
Yeah. Well, some of the things that used to be provided by organizations, you can find elsewhere. Yeah, even the training that I mentioned, that ERISA, you can find.
I think the vast majority of them, and I think that's why GITA, all of them are trying to find their new role. What is it they offer? And let's go back to ERISA for a minute, because ERISA really has done something unique besides the workshops, and that's this Geospatial Leadership Academy, right? You know, how do we create leaders? They have a course. You work with experienced people. That is unique. You can't get that anywhere else. But the number of people interested in doing that is very small.
Right, and that goes to a point I was just going to make, which is if that's mainly for the leadership. Now, what about the young professional? If I'm a young professional, I know I can find jobs boards in other places. But what about career counseling? Who is it that's there for that young professional to bounce ideas off and mentor that individual on a career path or educational options or cross-disciplinary training? I don't see any professional organization doing that. And in terms of longevity of the profession, if you want to provide a service, maybe you start with that young professional. I mean, there's several of them, you know, they do the YP thing at the events. I don't think it's enough. I just think that if I'm a young professional and I would love some independent advice, I think that that's really a benefit that I could that I would pay for.
Well, and there's a whole lot of talk about mentoring, isn't there? There's the Geo Mentor program from ESRI that goes into the schools. There are a variety of places that talk about mentoring, but when you get right down to it, the best mentoring I found, especially when I was trying to get that first couple of jobs, I went right back to my university and said, hey, hook me up with some people who graduated from the same university and let me talk to them. There really weren't resources from the professional organizations. And I think that even if they are, I don't think they're making them well known.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if that's for young professionals and students in school, I wouldn't want them to have to join to necessarily take advantage of that. And as a mentor, I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't be comfortable if there was a barrier to entry that they had to pay their $50
or
whatever
fee.
It was.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to bring up was that I believe our profession has changed so radically within the last five, certainly the last 10 years, that I don't think the organizations have kept up to look at the profession and see that the myriad ways that it has poked its fingers along on all of these different industries. So it is difficult for these organizations to say, you know what, we're going to focus here. And then they end up going, well, but we're broader than that. And then they become too broad and they lose their focus of what they originally were. And I think that's a real challenge for these organizations.
Oh, I think you've nailed that on the head. Remember back before GITA went through this transition, one of the things they did some years ago was they tried to reach out from the utility industry from whence they came. Remember, they were AMFM International.
Yeah.
They tried to reach out to whom? Local government. And how did that go? Well, not so well. Why? Because ERISA was the organization.
ERISA was there, right.
And now ERISA is keeping its core in government, but you know, maybe looking for other places to be. And you're right. While trying to get broader, in fact, the way the industry is going is you have to get nichier, which means that these organizations, in a sense, will get smaller because they will focus more once they decide on what that thing is that they do.
And an example of that is what ERISA has done, and probably somewhat successfully, is having these very niche events, the CAMA event, the Caribbean
GIS
event, the Health GIS one. Yeah.
Right, and I think that's really smart. Now, how well it can maintain those several smaller events in addition to a full-on annual conference, you know, does the annual conference make sense anymore? Or do people want to go to something focused on their particular industry? And as you pointed out, we get so much of what we need, especially sort of in the education, training, even networking, from our vendors and from our vendor-based organizations, whether the vendors host them or not. That's another huge change, because back in the day, people were still selecting their vendor, right? Now there's far, far less of that and far, far less changing. You're in.
And we've made that comment before, that if you've made the choice of which vendor you have, or you came out of school learning a particular type of software, you'll want to go to the user conference, not necessarily a neutral venue. So that neutral venue, that neutral conference, has got to provide a unique program that's going to have immediate benefits to the individual. That's where I think the organizations are struggling today. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We'd love your opinions on what you think of the professional societies. You can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Send us a tweet @directionsmag, or leave a comment where this podcast is posted on Directions Magazine.
Our sponsor, ESRI, would like you to know that the ESRI Electric and Gas GIS User Conference will be held October 20th to the 23rd in San Antonio, Texas. Attend the conference to learn new applications of GIS for real-time situational awareness of utility networks. Visit esri.com/electric-gas for more information and to register.
Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.